The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk to you this morning about building a strong house. And when I talk about a strong house, your life, your body, you know, everything about you. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we are the temple of God. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? Paul puts it in such a way. He says, listen, people of God, don't you realize you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? That's what he said to the Corinthians. Wake up! In other words, realize that God's Spirit is in you and you are the temple of God. And the things that we're going to talk about this morning, we're going to talk about the reality of building a strong house, building a strong life, building ourselves up in the most holy power and the recognition of who we are in Jesus Christ, so that we can have the kind of life that God intends us to have in this earth. God wants you to be content with what you have and who you are. And let me tell you something, the world is trying to sow discontent in everyone, including the body of Christ. So I think it's really important that we recognize that everything about our life is important. Actually, we're going to be starting with Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, when we get there. But I want you to understand that life is a matter of building. And each of us have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to build strong families. We have an opportunity to build a good or bad reputation. We have an opportunity to build financially in our lives. We have an opportunity to build spiritually and sow spiritual seed and build a spiritual foundation. But when it comes to the physical things, they can all disappear in just a moment. Things happen overnight due to financial loss, natural disaster, and just all kinds of unseen difficulties that take place in life. So the only thing that's really important is our relationship with Jesus Christ and the kind of things that we sow and we build that are pertaining to His kingdom. Now, let me tell you something. I believe that we are to sow in such a way and lay up treasures in heaven. Absolutely. But as we lay up those treasures in heaven, we are doing things that make our life what God wants it to be here on this earth as well. I do not believe that all we do is look for pie in the sky and a sweet by and by. We're supposed to be expecting God to do things here in this earth for us and through us. Because if we get the attitude, well, we're just going to hold on till Jesus comes, we're going to miss the mark. We're going to miss the high calling of God in our lives. We're going to miss being able to do the things that God has called us to do. And let me make this perfectly clear. Everything you do in your life is spiritual. Whatever you do for income is spiritual. Whatever you do with your family is spiritual. Whatever you do with other people, friends, recreation, it's spiritual. Whether you like it or not, you are doing something in the spirit realm that will affect your life. That's why it's very, very important that we recognize and we be careful of the kind of things that we do on a daily basis. Because it all, every bit of it affects our spiritual life and our eternity and the things that we're able to accomplish in this world today. Anybody there? You're not still in bed on me, are you? Come on. Praise God. So let me share some things with you that Daniel said. You know, hundreds of years ago, Daniel said this. By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. What I'm trying to convey to you this morning is that your whole life is an example to others that will either bring people into the kingdom or turn them away from the kingdom. Daniel Webster, who was a very staunch believer in Jesus Christ and had a firm foundation in Christ, said, "If we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to the dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and love for their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which cannot be effaced and which will brighten and brighten through all eternity." Making a difference in other people's lives is what he's talking about. It'll just get brighter and brighter. The fact is, if you build your relationship with God first, and you use the principles that are found in the Word of God, you will build a strong house. Character. I know, I remember back in the days of Bill Clinton, when Bill Clinton was going through all his fiascos. They tried to say that your private life isn't important in politics. Your character doesn't really matter. Well, surely it does matter. Surely you want somebody who is leading you to have moral principles and direction. I do. I want my president, I want my governor, I want my congressmen and senators all to live according to a moral standard that lifts up the people of the nation rather than put them down. I want pastors and leaders, civic leaders, people to recognize there is a moral standard that should be lived by that will lift people up rather than put people down. So I believe that we all want that in our lives, but yet that's not what we're seeing in our society today. Heard a little story this past week about a trial that was going on in a little town. And the prosecuting attorney called an elderly lady as a witness to the stand. And he said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me? And Mrs. Jones had been a teacher in the community for years and years. She knew lots of people. And she said, "Mr. Wembley, I certainly do know you. And to be frank, you're very much a disappointment to me. You're a thief. You steal from people. You embezzle. You take advantage of people. Yes, you are a disappointment to me." When he didn't know what to say, of course, you know, there he was in the courtroom. So he turned to the defense attorney and said, "Do you know Mr. Cheney there?" You know, he was real nervous. Didn't know what to do. And she said, "Yes, I know Mr. Cheney. And he's also a very much a disappointment to me. He's an adulterer. He's a drunkard. And his law practice is probably the most shoddy in the state." Wow, before she completely finished, the judge slammed his gavel down and called the two men to the front of the courtroom, to the bench. And he leaned over and he said to them, in a whisper, he said, "If either one of you ask her if she knows me, you'll be jailed for contempt." Character really matters, doesn't it? Wherever we go, and people know you by your character, by the standards that you live by the kind of lifestyle you have. So the first thing we want to look at this morning is I'd like to say there are two types of foundations that people need to choose from. And that is very simple. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. All right. A good foundation is what we're talking about. And of course, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is the cornerstone. At least that's what Corinthians tells us. For no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And it goes on in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So that's the cornerstone that we must have in our life, is that. And we also recognize that we also build on that. We build more on top of that with the doctrines and the beliefs and the teachings of the apostles. But the first thing that we want to look at in regards to the kind of foundation that we have to choose is that we have to choose first the right foundation in order to build the right kind of house. People are choosing the wrong foundation. They're choosing all kinds of things other than Christ as their personal Savior. And when you choose Christ, then you have the kind of foundation that will weather the storm. And Jesus is that right foundation. The only foundation. I just wanted to touch on that because it's real important that I lay proper foundation for the rest of this message. Foundation is important. How many have ever built a house or been around houses built? Have you ever seen one built with a shoddy foundation? I have. You know, if they build it with a shoddy foundation, you know what they have to do? They have to go back in and fix it because it's going to fall. It's not a good thing. If you do not have the right foundation in your life, Jesus must be that foundation, that cornerstone. And that's simple. As believers, everybody in here, I'm sure there's no one in here that would disagree with me on that. But it's very important that we recognize that people are trying to be moral, they're trying to have integrity, they're trying to do all these things aside from having the foundation of Christ. If you don't have that foundation, all those things mean nothing. That's the most important thing. That's how we're going to have the relationship with our Heavenly Father that we're supposed to have, is when we have that foundation. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is wise men build on the rock with quality material. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so Paul is saying to the Corinthians and to us that, yeah, you must accept Christ as your personal Savior, but there's more to building this building that we're supposed to be building, this temple and this life, than just the foundation of Christ. There's more to it than the gospel of Jesus being saved, coming into the kingdom. There are other principles that help build it up to become the kind of building that God wants it to be. In Ephesians 2:20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. So that chief cornerstone, then we have other foundation stones, the teachings of the prophets, the apostles, and we learn to grow and build and establish our life based on God's word. But the problem is, I think that many Christians are building with inferior material. Let's go on and read here, verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones. How many would think that that's probably a good thing to build on? Gold, silver, precious stones. Can be. Now, he's not really talking about those kind of precious materials that he's mentioning here. He's talking about good, solid foundations. If you build on that, or with wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and a fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So here, listen to me. This is very important that we catch this as believers, that the work that we do in this earth, the things that we do on a daily basis, that's going to be judged. Now, does that mean whether you're going to go to heaven or hell? No, when we read on with this scripture, we'll find out that's not true. It has nothing to do with our heavenly direction. It has to do with the reward that we receive from Almighty God. How many want to receive a reward from God? How many want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Absolutely. But the people that he's talking about here, let's just go on and read the rest of this. Each one's work will become clear on the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire which tests each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. You're going to receive a reward if you've used godly things to build with, godly principles. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. How many have ever heard somebody say, I don't care, I just want to be able to just get inside the gate. When you're talking about heaven. I just want to be able to slide in. I might just barely make it, but I just want to slide in. That's ridiculous. What kind of... Now, I realize that our society teaches us that these days that it's okay to just relax and do nothing and have all your needs provided, because that's where we're going right now. We're going into a government that's going to take care of us. We're going into a society that says everything is okay. You're going to be all right. Just sit back and let me take care of you. That's ridiculous when you begin to read the Word of God. It teaches us that we have responsibility. If we want a society that's functional and that will accomplish something, we all have to work together to accomplish it. We have to plow. We have to sow seed. We have to do the work. We have to harvest. We have all this responsibility to be able to accomplish these things. But the Word of God is very clear here that we're going to be rewarded for the things that we do, or we're going to suffer loss. Who wants to suffer loss when you enter into the kingdom? Yeah, I want to get into the kingdom, absolutely. But when I get there, I want God to say, look what you've got. Look over here. Look, Rob, what you accomplished. It'll have nothing to do with any riches or things that I have here on this earth. It'll have everything to do with laying up treasure in heaven. You know, when I think about this hay, wood, and straw, I can't help but think of the story of the three little pigs. You know, building the one little pig building with sticks. The devil came along and blew it down, didn't he? Hey, devil came along and blew it down. And that's what he's doing to God's people. The big bad wolf is coming along and he's blowing down your structure because it's not built with the proper material. And yet when we build a strong house according to the Word of God, we prosper. We have the kind of families we expect. We have relationships that are good, solid relationships and strong. Now, I'm not telling you that everything's going to be a bed of roses all the time. Please don't misunderstand me. Life happens. But there is no reason for us to create more problems for ourselves than we have to. Live according to the principles. Look, according to the Word of God, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. But he who heeds counsel is wise. I'm trying to give you counsel this morning that's based on the Word of God. From a biblical perspective, the things that I've just taught you this morning, it's very possible for you to be a Christian fool. I'm waiting on a response. Don't you think? The things that I've just said, you can be a Christian fool. You can make the right decision for Christ, but foolishly establish your life. God doesn't want that. For some people, Jesus is just a genie in a bottle. And let me tell you something, I don't care how hard you rub him, you're not going to get what you want. It doesn't happen by repeating the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Do that all you want. It comes from obeying the Word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It comes from hearing and doing God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Logos was with God. A living voice embodies the power of God. Jesus is that living Word and that living spoken Word. He's the same Word that spoke the worlds into existence, the same Word that gave Moses the commandments, the same Word that spoke through the prophets. George Whitefield, who was an evangelist, preacher during Great Awakening, said this: the renewal of our nature is a work of great importance. It is not to be done in a day. We have not only a new house to build up, but an old one to pull down. Do we not realize that we have this old nature? Now let me make something perfectly clear. When you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you're born again, and you are a new creation in Christ. Amen? Amen? Your spirit is born again. But you have to, with the help of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, renew your mind. Change your thinking. Change the direction that you've been going. You have everything you need, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, to be able to change the direction and do things a different way than you used to do them. To be complete in Jesus Christ. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We just need to hear and do and respond to the things of God and the Word of God. All right, let's see where we're going here with this. Number 3, I want to talk about 3, not 4, 3. I'm having a little hard time with that finger. The church is using the world's material to build. Matthew Henry wrote in his commentary, those who teach by their doctrine must teach by their life, or else they pull down with one hand and they build what they build up with the other. So we have to know that we are supposed to be different. and establishing our lives in a different way. According to statistics, 50% of evangelical pastors are divorcing these days. That's people like us, the leaders in our churches. Why should the world listen to Christians? Why? I don't see any reason. If we can't have a different life than they have, if even our leaders can't seem to establish their life on the Word of God, why should they ever listen to us? And I've heard crazy excuses. I just don't love him or her anymore. That's not going to stand before Almighty God. Where do you think they get that counsel? I can tell you it's not from the Word of God. That's not God's Word. When believers' lives mirror the world, we're using the wrong material to build with. Now listen, a foolish Christian builder builds on a solid foundation. Remember, Jesus is that solid foundation. But he uses inferior material. And that material is supplied by the anti-God substandard factories of this world. A wise Christian builder builds with heavenly material. It's ordered from our Father's detailed magazine or detailed handbook, the Word of God. And it comes straight from His factory, straight from His desires and His will. But yet, we get caught up in all the desires and the greed and the stuff of this world, always desiring more. In his book, A Cure for the Common Life, Max Lucado tells a story of a man who operated a popcorn stand. This guy had his top popcorn stand outside on the street in a big city, and he had regular customers. And one day at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he was wrapping things up. And a gentleman, a businessman, entrepreneur, came along, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I've sold everything I need to sell today. I'm going to go home, sit on my porch, and drink tea with my wife." The businessman said, "But there's more money to be made." The guy said, "Why?" He said, "Well, you know, if you make more money, you can get more carts, and you'll have more carts, and you'll make more money, and you can get more carts, and one day you have such a big business that you can retire and sit on a porch and drink tea with your wife." Guy looked at him. He said, "Why should I do that? I can go home and sit on the porch and drink tea with my wife today." Perspective. You know, I'm not opposed to making money. Money's a good thing. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And when we use money to sow into the kingdom of God, it's a great thing. It's wonderful. But if we're not careful, we let this world teach us how we're supposed to do things. And spending time with our family, our children, relationships, seeking God's will for our life, that is the most important. Let me tell you something. Let me speak some wisdom into your life this morning. Those of you who you're looking for God's direction, never make a decision based on finances. If you have an opportunity to move halfway across the country, don't do it unless God tells you, releases you to go do it. You shouldn't be making decisions based on your financial situation. You make decisions based on God's will in everything that you do. But that's a huge mistake many Christians make. We're a society that seems to be never satisfied. More and bigger. Bigger homes, bigger cars, bigger TVs. Yeah, I like those big TVs. It makes that football game look pretty good, doesn't it? Supersized value meals. Better spouses. Bigger and better, everything. In the 1950s, American families owned one car and saved for a second one. In the 2000s, American families owned three cars, and usually they owe on all three of them. The average American spends $2,600 a year on eating out. That is four times the average person in the world's yearly income. We don't realize that sometimes, do we? Listen, I'm not opposed to eating out. I love to eat out. I like to go to the steakhouse and eat. Me and Chris Deemer love to eat out. There's nobody, now I say that, there's nobody that loves to eat out more than Chris Deemer. He eats out every time he gets a chance. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with it. I'm just trying to bring some perspective to our life and how we have it. And sometimes we complain about it. How many have ever complained about your income? Come on, I got both hands up. Come on. We do, don't we? And yet, we spend more on eating out than most of the world makes in a year. Do we have room to complain? No, Paul said, I have learned to be content in all things. Now listen to this. He said, I've learned. In the beginning, Paul evidently wasn't content in all things. How could you be content when you're in prison, jailed? You know, you wouldn't think you'd be content. Yet Paul said, I have learned to be content whether I have much or I have little. It's all perspective. Our God wants to provide all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Absolutely. I believe that. He wants to take care of you. But we've got to keep our perspective right. We've got to recognize how important it is for us to not to get into the mode of complaining. We've got to be careful we don't let greed control us. Proverbs tells us, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house. And I'm talking about building a proper house today. You trouble your own household if you're greedy for gain. World says, he who has the most toys wins. How many have ever heard that? Haven't heard that for a long time, but I used to hear it all the time. That's a lie. You don't win because you have toys. We've bought into it. That's why so many people have four-wheelers and jet skis and boats and all these things, and they're financed to the hilt. Because we bought in to the lie that if you have toys, you're a winner. If you have toys and you have them financed to the hilt, you're not a winner. I want you to know that. Not according to the Word of God. Because according to the Word of God, debt is evil. Debt will destroy you. Debt, the borrower is slave to the lender. How many of you are slave to your lenders? I am sometimes. You know, if I've borrowed money for something, I know that I have to make a certain amount of money to pay that lender. That makes us a slave. Humanism holds greed up as a virtue. In the late 1940s, a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow introduced into our society a new way of thinking. It was called self-actualization. Actually, it was a revival of an old way of thinking, Epicureanism, from the first century. Epicurus said, nothing is enough for a man for whom enough is too little. In other words, you can't get enough. And that's a reality. When we get to that point in our life, we just have to have more and more. Maslow challenged the old psychologies of our Bible-based thinking. And he said things like this. He said that basically man is good and they have good ways and good thoughts. All they need is to have their needs and wants gratified. And it's not bad or it's not good. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches us. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man is deceptive. It's wicked. Hallelujah. Thank God we have a transformation in our hearts through Jesus Christ. The ultimate fulfillment of self-actualization as taught by Maslow and his followers today is having all your fleshly desires met. I took this statement directly off their website. How would you like to experience constant growth, higher levels of meaning, confidence, love, contribution, and potential? These formerly rare peak experiences become increasingly accessible with self-actualization. That right there is the basis of the lie that the enemy is telling people today. If you follow me in my ways, you will be like God. Remember what he told Adam and Eve? You're not going to die. You'll be like God. That's the same lie that he's teaching today. And he teaches it through things like this and all kinds of false religions. When greed controls the person, self-satisfaction is the ultimate goal. You know, if we think about it, some of the statistics that I found, 50% of the people in the world don't have toilets. Think about that. We're quite blessed here in this nation. 50% of the people in the world live below, way below, what we would consider the level of poverty. And by their standards, we are incredibly wealthy. You are doing better in this nation financially than at least 3.5 billion people are. The average American family devotes a full 1/4 of its income to outstanding debts. We spend 110% of our disposable income trying to manage debt. I think John Rockefeller said it many years ago about money. He was asked, how much money does it take to satisfy a person? His reply was just a little bit more. At the time, he was the wealthiest man on the earth. Max Lucado says that greed has a growling stomach. I believe that. You can't satisfy it. No matter how much you try to feed it, it can't be satisfied. It's a basic glitch that is a part of our sin nature. Philippians 4:11 says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That's very important. We recognize. That's one of the things I want to drive home this morning, is that we need to be content. In his book, Money as User's Manual, Bob Russell tells the story of a farmer who grew discontent with his farm. And in that, he looked at all his farm, he saw his big fat cows lumbering through the fields, and he realized, man, I've got to feed those things. He was driving his tractor over his rolling hills and how it made his tractor bump up and down. Looked at his pond that needed to be stocked, well stocked, and he had to do that every year. And he said, man, I am sick of this. So he put his farm up for sale. He called up a realtor and he said, listen, I want to sell this place. So the realtor said, okay. In a few days, the agent called him back. And he said, here's the ad. The ad described a lovely farm in an ideal location with rolling hills, carpeted with soft meadows, nourished with a fresh lake, and blessed with well-bred livestock. The farmer paused for a minute. He said, would you read that to me again? The realtor said, sure. And he read it to him again. The farmer sat there for a minute. He said, I think I've changed my mind. I've been looking for a place like that all my life. Wow. When we have the right perspective on things in our life, we begin to realize how blessed we are and what we are able to accomplish. We need to be content with who we are, what we are, and where we are. It's not that God won't prosper you and move you on into a new area and build you up and cause you to take new responsibility. It's that we need to learn first to be content where we are. The Japanese proverb says it all. Even if you sleep in a 1,000-room mat, you can only sleep on one mat. One at a time. When we learn these things, I believe that we can put our whole life in perspective. God's desire is for His people to know who we are, to know the power that we have, to be content with where we are, and to move forward, accomplishing mighty things for His kingdom. Yes, sir. Wherever you are right now is God's will for your life at this time. He may move you on. He may change your circumstance. But right now, you are where you are. And God is with you. Recognize His goodness. Brother, I'm finished this morning. Here's a quote that I found when I was researching for this message, and I believe that it's exactly right. It says this: if you are dissatisfied with your lot in life, then build a service station. That's Christian. That's what the body of Christ is all. That's what the kingdom is all about. Because you see, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be servants of all. If you're dissatisfied where you are right now, begin to serve. Serve others. Serve the church. Serve the community. Serve. And your perspective will change. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.